Hello, friends. This is your friend Can't See Dodds, and I'm joined by my friend Lindsay Kopach. So Lindsay coached me on how to say her name, and I think I sort of said it right, but kind of wrong.
It's okay. So.
Okay, Lindsay, I'm super excited to be joined with you today. I have been friends with Lindsay for, I don't know, like a year, maybe longer.
Probably
It's been a
about that.
while. And I don't even know how it started, just on Twitter probably. But it's been a good friendship. We chat all the time on Egghead Slack and stuff too. So I am it's a total pleasure to be friends with Lindsay, and I want you to be a friend with Lindsay too. So Lindsay, can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. So my name's Lindsay Kopach. Kent got it almost right. And I am a front-end developer and I blog about accessibility. And I'm really passionate about the intersection of JavaScript and accessibility in particular. Yeah, that's a very, very quick overview of me. But my main passion, if you don't know who I am, is accessibility. I hope that's obvious to the people who do know who I am. But yeah, any follow-up questions or?
I think we're going to dive quite a bit into your accessibility background and that kind of thing. You also have a cat. Can you tell us a little bit about your cat?
Sure. Well, my cat's name is Bella. I actually got her about 2 years ago. She's eight, actually. So, one of my best friends got a dog and owned Bella, and Bella did not like the dog. So, I ended up, I w at the time I wanted a cat, so I ended up being like, "Hey, I can take your cat." And she's super sweet, super snuggly. When I got back from React Rally, she was very upset because she had not any days of cuddling. So,
Oh.
she's pretty cute. She likes to come up into like my armpit nook when I wake up in the morning, which is kind of uncomfortable but super adorable at the same time. So but she's sweet and she keeps me company when I'm working from home, which is, I mean, I think for a lot of people working from home, having an animal is super helpful, or even just like anybody, like your partner or like a kid or something. But I don't have I don't have my partner works not at home, so I don't get that pleasure, so I get my cat instead. She hangs out with me. Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely working from home can be kind of lonesome. So having some living, breathing organism around can be really helpful.
Totally, totally.
So cool. Well, Lindsay, you are super into accessibility. You write blog posts about it and Egghead stuff about it, and you do have Egghead stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't have any courses, just lessons at this point.
Right.
So, I probably have like 10 lessons on it. Not a ton, but it's definitely a decent amount compared to some. So,
That's 10 worthwhile lessons to watch for sure.
yeah.
So awesome. So what is it that got you into accessibility? Like, why do you care so much, and why should I care?
So I actually started working in accessibility kind of by accident. I was actually a technical project manager at the time, but I was still trying to get my hands into code. Like I went from being a coder to a technical project manager and missing it, so trying to get into the code as much as possible. So whenever I had extra tickets, I would try to jump in and help with them. So one of the tickets that I had was accessibility errors that were happening and needing to fix them. And quite frankly, it's embarrassing to admit now that I didn't even know what accessibility meant. I just knew it was an error, kind of like how you have like responsive errors or like browser errors on different browser views. So I kind of thought of it like that, but didn't actually know why I was fixing it. And that's important, and I'll get back to that later. But I started fixing them and like didn't actually know what I was doing. So I would go to other developers and be like, I got this error. I literally have no idea what it means. And I would figure out what it meant through them, but they still wouldn't tell me what accessibility was. They're just like, oh, you need to slap this like four on this label and put that ID on an input and then you'll be good. And I was like, okay, cool. I guess that's good. But I just always have that natural curiosity. So I started realizing it was for people with disabilities. And that made me really start liking it because I've always had, I know it's really corny to say I'm a people person, but I've always had this, my hardest part about being in tech is I love people, and like tech can be isolating sometimes when you're not around people. So for me, it just gave me a deeper connection once I learned a lot about what it is. So I decided to learn more about it. I was like, I'm going to give a talk on it. And nice. That is the best way to force yourself to learn something is to give Absolutely. A talk on it. You have a deadline. So I got accepted for an intro to accessibility talk. And I think it was for the Tech Lady Hackathon in 2016. And now it's called Tech Rebalance, but it's something that it's basically a little mini conf we have here in DC. And it's really incredible, I don't want to call it a conference because they called it a hackathon, but it's very basically a very mini conference. And it was really fun. And I learned a lot in the process. And after that, it just sort of started really, really snowballing into my learning and learning more about it. And 3 years later, here I am.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite interesting. That I know lots of people who are super into accessibility have some connection, whether it be like themselves, like Johnny. Oh shoot, what's Johnny's last name? He just spoke at React Rally.
Johnny Bell.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Johnny Bell. Yeah, he doesn't have a. Let's see, is it his left hand? I think. He was born without a left hand, and so like he clearly has a a strong connection to that. Marcy Sutton, I think, has a close friend who has a disability. Ryan Florence worked next to a blind developer for years and developed that strong connection. And it sounds like you just really like and care about people. And that's a wonderful reason to get into this.
Yeah, totally. Actually, a little bit of a sidebar story is after I started learning more about it, at the time, I actually had a blind roommate, and it's one of those things, like I kind of realized like at the time and how that actually aligns with that time in my life, because she was actually really, really functional. And I think for me, it made me realize that it kind of helped me stop othering people and start thinking about, and it's a little embarrassing to admit that I've ever done that, but you know, she was so like human and sweet and awesome. And then when I heard her on a screen reader ordering things, I'm like, how do you do that? And she's like, oh, you get used to it. And I'm like, oh my God, it sounds awful when you like, when things are messed up. And, you know, I think about that a lot, and I'm kind of embarrassed I didn't include that as the first part of my story, but it's actually kind of important because when it comes down to it, accessibility is about people, you know, it's, you know, there's code solutions and testing and stuff, but it's about people and people being able to use products. And ultimately when it comes down to it, like, what are we even coding for? We're coding to make people's lives better.
Yeah, exactly. So this actually makes me think of something that has happened pretty recently. I think it's actually still going on, where Domino's, as delicious as their pizza is, their website is not very delicious if you need to use a screen reader, because it's like totally inaccessible. And so you can't order pizza like a seeing person can, for example.
Totally.
And the fascinating thing about all of this is that they did some analysis, and it's like, they decided it was millions of dollars to fix all of these problems, and they're just not going to do it. So they're pushing back on this lawsuit, taking it, I think, to the Supreme Court. That's just like bonkers to me. But I am curious what your take on this is. In particular, why do you think that it's not just acceptable for somebody to say, you know what, I'm going to make a pizza place that's only for people who can see and can actually order on this, you know, through this medium of my website. Like, why is it unacceptable? I almost said inacceptable, and then it's like inaccessibility. Why is it not acceptable for a company to just say, you know, I know that I'm limiting my customer base, and I'm okay with taking that customer base hit, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it's just like the literal, I don't like to say the legality of it because it sounds so sterile and clinical, but like it's discrimination in my, it's like you're literally like withholding somebody from your service for no reason other than you're being cheap. And the ironic part in my head, if you're even thinking about money, is you probably would make that money back because people, like, who needs the apps or who needs to order online the most are people who might not be able to drive. I mean, that's for me the part where I'm like, there's so many reasons why you would want to use an app versus the phone or driving. And, you know, for me, I get a lot of telephone anxiety. So if there is an app to use, I will most likely use that. And I think about other people. I'm like, what's saying that somebody who is blind doesn't have like phone anxiety? Like, you know, they're human. People are human. Some people have phone anxiety. Some people don't want to call them. Some people, you know, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense because, one, from the financial aspect, you will probably make that money back. Second of all, it's like, I know for a fact that most accessibility issues aren't that expensive unless it was so poorly designed that, I don't know. I get so angry about it. So I'm trying really hard to like keep myself like level-headed. But yeah. The very short version is it might cost money, but Domino's is a multi-million, I'm sure, dollar company that can afford it. And they're literally just taking a stance to be a jerk. Like, that's kind of what my read on it is like, like, why don't you just settle for it and then make your site accessible? I think that would even be way cheaper than pushing it to Supreme Court or I don't know. I think about that even just like if you're going to take the be a good person part out of it, it just doesn't make a lot of logical sense. I mean, I have a lot of trouble with like the legal reasons and the business reasons of why you should do something. Cause for me, like the motivation has always been very empathy driven, but I get so ranty when I'm like, it literally doesn't make sense. Like e-commerce businesses have so many problems in this space, and they're the ones who can financially benefit from it the most. And it makes, like, from a logical standpoint, it confuses me. I don't know. So yeah. That was a very ranty version of your question.
On top of that, I saw Ryan Florence was like, hey, Domino's, you give me like $500,000 and I'll get this done in 3 months. Like, it's not that hard. It really is not. And that actually is a great transition into the next thing that I want to talk about is like, I think that a lot of there's been a lot of focus on, you know, accessibility, like focusing on accessibility and fixing those problems can be a huge help financially and just to be a good person. And like, there are all these reasons to do it. But people still don't. And so I'm trying to think of like, why is it that people don't do this? And I'm guessing it must be because they don't know how. And so as somebody, like, I'm still learning about accessibility, but like, I certainly have that low hanging fruit down. Like, it's just a natural part of my coding now. So it's actually not that hard. So why is it that people just haven't learned how? And I guess that's the question that I'd like to pose to you. What do you think is holding back some people from investing some time into learning how to do this?
So I think personally, something I'm pretty opinionated about is I think there's a lot of tutorials out there for people who are self-taught coders. So a lot of online materials, a lot of coding boot camps. So a lot of people who are coming from non-traditional educational backgrounds in tech. And a lot of the front end stuff, like the HTML and CSS, like it doesn't, it either gets taught really quickly or doesn't get taught in depth. And, you know, a lot of times that's 80% of the problem is just improper HTML and CSS. Because at the end of the day, what do these front end frameworks render? HTML. So I think, you know, I see that. And I think it's mostly just an ignorance problem and not knowing it's a thing. And I don't think ignorance is necessarily the enemy of accessibility. I think like willful lack of empathy is the enemy. Just like when you know it, you're like, oh, this is an edge case or not that many people. I mean, we were just at React Rally and we heard Johnny's talk and, you know, it's like 1 in 4 people, at least in America, that have a disability, and that's not trivial. So I think about that a lot, and I think a lot of it is ignorance, but I don't think that's necessarily the enemy because ignorance can be fixed. So, you know, I didn't learn about it until I had been doing it for at least doing web development for at least 2 years and been in this industry for 2 years. I had no idea. And, you know, a lot of times we kind of just start going into HTML, and because HTML is syntactically easier than JavaScript, a lot of people take it for granted and just kind of skip over a lot of the attributes that like just like small attributes that make things better. And like even there's things that I still like don't even know. I mean, I think I know a decent amount, let's hope. But there are things that I learn every day about accessibility in HTML and things that I've done or I've approached that could be improved. And even like new HTML is coming out to make the browser better, and there's better ways of doing things. So it's constantly learning, but I think it's just like the knowledge isn't built in from the start. So people don't think about it from the start. So whenever I teach anything, like any intro to coding, you better believe accessibility gets thrown in there like very heavily. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, what is alt text? And I'm like, well, have you ever thought about what this image would be announced as if you couldn't see? Like, what would you need for this image to get the context of that picture that like, and sometimes the context is it's decorative. And for me, I remember realizing you could have empty alt text. And when you could have empty alt text, that means you don't really, it doesn't add any value. It's just decorative. Like, you know, for on a bio page or something. And like, if you're on the bio page of your team and you have an image, you have the empty alt text because all the context of that page for Kent C. Dodds, like your bio page, like you don't necessarily need your alt text on your photo, or you don't need a non-empty value. You still need an empty alt tag. But that's because all the information about Kent C. Dodds is there. Or wait, what is it? Kent C. Dodds? Is that your new name?
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought I saw that change on it.
Yeah, that was hilarious. For the listeners, there, David Khorshid gave a talk at React Rally, and in the talk, he had a bunch of dots on the screen that were like creating a model of state machine. And he gave it a bunch of different names, and he said, you can call it whatever you want. You could even call it Kent C. Dodds. And so I changed my Twitter name for a day. It was hilarious. You know, something occurred to me while you were talking, and I wonder if one of the reasons that people don't learn accessibility is because they don't use the tools of accessibility, like the people who need those accessibility features do. And so, like, for example, of course your website works with a mouse, because like pretty much everybody who's building the website is using a mouse. And so like, if it doesn't work with the mouse, then they can see that, oh, very clearly this is a bug because it's not working with the mouse. And lots of times lots of developers like to be on the keyboard a lot. And so typically lots of the time the keyboard will work pretty well, at least sometimes. At least in sections of the app where the developers are iterating a lot or something. And so I wonder if people listening, if they want to get good at accessibility, maybe finding like the tools of, you know, blind people or you know, otherwise would be a good exercise for them.
Totally. And it's, yeah, the same thing like with like motor disabilities or even screen readers. So something that I actually learned, well, not like recently, but relatively recently, is that a lot of people with dyslexia actually use screen readers because, you know, so it's not just for people who have visual impairments, but it's also for people who have cognitive disorders, who may have trouble reading, people who have maybe a lower reading level. It's super helpful to them as well. So it's like, it's not just about visual impairment. I know we hear about screen readers and we always think like somebody is blind or somebody maybe has low vision or something, but a lot of times, actually, that's how I edit most of my blog posts, is with a screen reader, because I have ADHD, and you don't, and until I started using a screen reader, I would read through halfway, get distracted, forget where I was, start over. And then you think about it, and it would happen over and over, and it would take me like 3 days to edit a blog post. And just by using a screen reader, I've shortened that so many or so much, because you can hear when something sounds off, because the screen reader will tell you. It reads it exactly how it says it. So there, it's so, and it's also a lot more foolproof that way, because you don't accidentally miss over something. And for me, I'm like, I have high anxiety and also ADHD, so like those are like not exactly the best siblings of cognitive disorders. So, but yeah, I think with that being said, this is a little bit of a tangent, but when I think back to like just testing and thinking through things, it's actually really helpful for everyone. You were saying with developers, I use a lot of keyboard shortcuts, especially when I'm typing. So if I'm like deleting words, I usually use like option shift and the arrows and stuff for like deleting words. And I was on Evernote, not their desktop app, their web app. And I actually think all of those were disabled. It was so super frustrating. I mean,
I just said boo.
I know. I was really upset about it, but it was fine. Like out of all times, you know, for me to complain, I think that's a little trivial, but you know, who knows? Maybe it's not trivial. Maybe that's a super important feature for somebody. But you know, I think with what you were saying about testing before I got into my very long, tangent, I think testing really helps you understand why things are important. So even just like the manual testing, even if you go into automated testing or you go into like writing your own tests, it's really important to understand the why. And, you know, then that's what I like a lot about, you know, like Axe and WebAIM or the Wave tool with a WebAIM and even just a keyboard, is you're like, oh, that's why that stinks. Like, you know, it gives you that why and that context of why you have to fix. And hopefully, I like to think that most of us are good people and you're like, oh, I don't want to exclude my users. I feel like a lot of us in front-end development care a lot about our users. And so we're like, okay, well, we don't want our user to be literally unable to use something. So manual testing is how I started getting much better at JavaScript, is because I was trying to fix a lot of the problems that weren't just HTML and CSS stuff, but like focus management. And focus management is how I started learning more about JavaScript. It's kind of fascinating because I hear a lot of times where JavaScript and accessibility get juxtaposed against each other. But I literally started getting better at JavaScript because I needed to solve accessibility things. And it just kind of continued going on that path and getting better at JavaScript and understanding a little bit more about JavaScript. And I find it fascinating to me how it doesn't, like, people in the JavaScript realm are a little more intimidated by it, because I think there's so many cool opportunities to learn and get better at JavaScript through it. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks for saying all those things. I'm trying to think of which of those I want to branch off.
Sorry. I'm a chatty Kathy sometimes.
No, it's wonderful. So I wonder if like part of the struggle to getting into accessibility, like the thing is that we know clearly that there are many people who have just not even taken those first steps into getting things accessible because things as simple as labels not being associated to input fields on a form is not happening. And lots of these things are just like, that's such low hanging fruit that there's really no good reason for those things to not be taken care of. And so like, what would you say are some of the things that people can do just as we're kind of wrapping up here, that people can do to get into, learning accessibility and just like turn it into a habit?
Awesome. So the first thing, if you're just getting started, is I would not worry about ARIA, which seems to intimidate a lot of people. I would just start going into, like you said, labels for form inputs. The other one is making sure that alt text is proper. And I have actually a blog post all about that, that I could explain in more depth. And a mm-hmm. few other things that I think are super important is making sure you're using links and buttons properly and not leaving either of them empty. And so what I mean by that is remembering that links go places and buttons are usually interactive functionality. I think a lot of times people don't like the default styling of a button, so they'll either make it a link and change the role and then make the href like a pound sign. And when really all they really need is a little bit of CSS to reduce the styling. And the even worse part is when they create a div instead, because then you don't get like all the stuff that's built in.
Yeah. There's so much that's just built in for free, and you're like intentionally going off of the path. Like you're making it worse and working hard at it too.
Yeah, totally. It's just like, for me, I think people don't, because they're not thinking past just the mouse, you know, they're like, oh, this works with the mouse, I have to write a click event, but they don't realize what they're missing out on. So the other part is just learn your semantic HTML. The semantic HTML will get you 80% of the way there. And so those are probably my four biggest HTML takeaways. And the other thing with getting started with accessibility is don't be afraid to turn on your screen reader and don't be afraid to try to navigate something with your keyboard. And the only thing that you really need to do to navigate with your keyboard is just press the tab key and make sure you know exactly where you are on the page. It should be very obvious. So those, I think, are the I said four takeaways, but I guess I added two more with the screen reader and the keyboard. So just making sure you have form labels, making sure you have proper alternative text, making sure you don't leave your buttons or links empty, and making sure that you are using links and buttons appropriately. And then you not being afraid to turn on your screen reader. If you use a Mac, it is Command F5. You don't even have to go all the way into your settings. You can literally just use that shortcut. And then making sure you go through it with a keyboard by using the tab key. So those are like my six things. I was like, that's a lot. But I think if you go through that, you are like 90% of the way there. And mm-hmm. You will get so much done and learn so much just by doing those six things. I wanted to make it as actionable of a takeaway as I could, because when it comes down to it, I can talk about it. But if you don't have action items, like it defeats the purpose. So,
yeah, absolutely. And there are like tools that exist that people can use. Like, it's built into the browser, the accessibility audit. So mm-hmm. you can do an accessibility audit. And that, and then if you want to take it a step further, and this is our homework for folks, is go and install the Axe Chrome extension. And I'll have a link in our show notes. But if you install that, then it will give you pretty much everything you get from the audit, but a little bit more and in more detail. And I think like a lot of it has to do with just, as you were saying, Lindsay, earlier, ignorance. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily the enemy, but it definitely feeds into the problems that we have today. And here's the cool thing. If you get really good at accessibility, which Lindsay just said, it doesn't take a lot of work. And I can tell you that as well. I mean, it's not an easy thing. That, like, nothing in programming is easy. But if you were to dedicate some time into learning it and being good at it, then you can go off and be a consultant and maybe make $3 million from Domino's to fix their site. Yeah, in all seriousness, this is definitely something that's worthwhile learning. And it makes things better for everybody, not just those using assistive technologies. And even if it were just for those using assistive technologies, it'd be worth the while.
Agreed, agreed. Yeah, but accessibility is for everyone, true.
Well, that was awesome, Lindsay. Before we wrap things up, is there like a best way to contact you, connect with you online?
Sure. So best way to get in touch with me is always going to be Twitter, because I don't check LinkedIn or my email. I'm so bad at email. So if you want to get in touch with me, either send me a DM on Twitter. My handle is Little Cope. So that is K-O-P-E. It's actually a shortening of my last name. So yeah, that's the easiest way to get in contact with me.
Sweet. Cool. Thank you so much, Lindsay. It's been a pleasure. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day and week, and that those listening also have a great day, and that we can make good connections and improve the world through accessibility. So with that, we'll say goodbye. See ya.
Bye, Kent.